You are listening to the Anfield Humidor Podcast. My name's Brian, and today I'm running solo. I'm all by myself today, guys. Andrew was not able to make it, sadly. He'll be back for the next podcast against, I think we're going to do one right after the Genk, the Champions League game against Genk. And then we're both heading to Carragher's on Saturday for the Manchester City game. But I digress. I'm still smoking a cigar. I'm drinking a glass of whiskey. And what a crazy game that was. And we're going to get into that in a second. But first, my intro. All right, another nail biter for the Reds as they remain unbeaten in their last 28 Premier League games. Woo! Reds fans across the world cheer as Firmino came in clutch with an equalizer, but VAR ruled that Firmino's armpit was offside. We're going to get into that later. Who knew that we've been rubbing Old Spice on a playable part of our bodies for years? Who knew? Relief came in the 87th minute when Andy Robertson headed in a clinical cross from Sadio Mane. Even though Robbo struck the ball right at the goalkeeper, like he normally does, the close proximity was no match for Tom Heaton. Mane's stoppage time game-winning header was one for the ages, and boy, is it an exciting time to be a fan of the Reds. Or as Scousers would say, the Reds. The Reds. All right, guys, we got game chat coming up soon. We got poetry in motion, and we kind of have another new segment called Aleya Leya Quotes. You hear that? It's called Aleya Leya Quotes. Stay tuned. And we're back. We're back. By we, I mean me. Sadly, all by myself. All by myself. I've been in a singing mood lately, as if you follow us on Instagram, I just posted a video of me singing. And it was atrocious, but it was fun. I like to sing sometimes. No one likes to listen to it, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Let's get right into our real fake news segment. And this is Liverpool Headlines, brought to you by one dumb American on the other side of the globe. Some are real, some are fake. You decide. All right, here we go. Trent Alexander-Arnold has become the fourth youngest player to reach 100 appearances for Liverpool in the club's history. Only three players in 127 years have achieved the feat quicker in all competitions. And here's the three. We got Michael Owen. Did it in 19 years and 363 days. Good old Raheem Sterling did it in 20 years and 6 days. And Robbie Fowler, 20 years and 167 days. And I guess Trent comes in fourth there. And I don't have those Trent stats. How many years, how many days? You would think I would have come prepared for this. Oh boy. All right. Next headline. Now that Jurgen Klopp is aware armpits are a playable part of the body, who knew? The Reds have begun training a new style of set piece. It relies heavily on a good cross from Trent and everyone else diving armpit first towards the ball. They're also experimenting an unshaved versus shaved armpit approach. Klopp and the training staff have high hopes for their new tactic. I think it's going to work out, guys. Liverpool are set to face Aston Villa in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup. Thursday's draw paired the Reds, or the Reds, who defeated Arsenal 5-4 on penalties after a 5-5 thriller in the fourth round on Wednesday night with their fellow Premier League club. LFC have decided to replace all of Anfield's plastic straws with the more environmentally friendly paper ones. The club said, quote, "Sure, the straws fall apart a quarter of the way through the drink, but we hope this small change will have an impact on our environment." In other news, the Chinese Super League have urged their clubs to start using China's all-new nuclear-powered straw. That's a little, you know, you see what I did there? See what I did with that? You know, we do our best to be environmentally friendly, and then China goes and dumps crap in the water. I feel bad for China. I feel bad for them. All right, let's get right into our pre-match stats. And these pre-match stats are brought to you by the Instagram account Liverpool Goals. And once again, I'm never, I'm never ready to read these stats. Oh, boy. Okay. I found them. Here we go. Aston Villa have won their... Let me try this again. Aston Villa have won just four of their last 29 Premier League games against us. Oh, my goodness. 8 draws and 17 losses. With 3 of those wins coming at Anfield. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. They've won 3... in the last 29, though. So that's a little crazy, but... Yeah, they've beat us 3 times. That's nuts. We are unbeaten in our last 27 Premier League games. Now 28. Their second longest unbeaten run in top flight history. 31. So their first one was 31 wins between May 1987 and March 1988. And our last stat here. We have won 13 Premier League away games against Aston Villa. More than we've beaten any other side on the road in the competition. Okay. Well, that's good. Sorry, I got to try to keep my cigar lit here. I'm smoking the same cigar we smoked last week at Cortez. Okay. All right. That's the end of that. Only 3 stats this week. You know, maybe one of these days I'll be able to read those stats by Liverpool goals without stuttering over my words. But, you know, reading out loud is tough. It's tough, especially when you were homeschooled like me. Yes, I was homeschooled for most of my life. Oh, my goodness. All right. All right, let's get into our new segment. Has this been a train wreck so far? Should I never do this by myself? Should I always wait for Andrew? I don't know. I kind of enjoy it sometimes, but oh, man, do I miss that kid. I miss him. You know, he fills all the empty space. Like, I got to talk the whole time now? What the heck's up with that? I got to talk even in between my whiskey sips and my cigar puffs. It's not easy. It's not easy. All right. We're going to get into our new segment. Now, this new segment is not really new. We did it last week. Last week, it was called Klopp Quotes, but Andrew and I decided that we're going to just probably make it about any quote, not necessarily just from Klopp. So without Andrew's input, I renamed it to Ale, Ale, Quotes. We'll see what he has to say about that name. But this first quote I'm going to read, or this is the only quote of the segment I'm going to read, is going to bring us right into our first topic of the game chat. And I decided to pick this quote for the podcast before the Aston Villa game. So the Aston Villa game we just played kind of contradicts this quote. But anyway, this quote comes from, it's a quote by, these are questions written by, this is a Twitter guy, @DanLFCTR. And he is the owner of Liverpool Transfer News, I think it's called. Let's see here. Hold on. I wrote it down somewhere. Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. The LFC Transfer Room is the name of his website. And it's a pretty awesome website. I mean, they got a ton of writers on that website. It's pretty big. But this is a quote from him. And this is, mind you, this is from 2017. So this is an old article he wrote. But I don't know, it just caught my attention. He posted this article on Twitter recently, and I read it, and just one of the things caught my attention. Here's the quote, and it's a question he's asking. Here's the question. A controversial topic in Klopp's style at LFC is that he tends to do late substitutions around the 80th or 85th minute and so on. Was he the same way at Borussia Dortmund? Did you agree with it? So this question is put forth towards another Twitter account called BVB Buzz. And I believe they run a website that's devoted to Borussia Dortmund. And his answer was, well, Klopp is a lad that puts a lot of trust on his starting 11. Seems like he is doing the same at Liverpool. If this strategy of making subs late is winning games, then I wouldn't mind him doing it. So I read this and it just caught me that he is a manager who makes late substitutions typically. You know, that's not something I necessarily put two and two together with. But, you know, now that I've read this quote, obviously, he's always making very late subs. You know, you hear a ton of Liverpool fans screaming, put Keita on, put Chamberlain on sooner. You know what I mean? But he has a big trust in his starting 11, which we talked about. Andrew and I talked about that last week. We talked about the midfield, everyone complaining about the midfield. They don't want Henderson to play. They want Keita to play. They want Ox to play. You know, they don't want Wijnaldum to play. They want Keita and Ox to play, which is interesting. And again, this game against Aston Villa, he didn't really follow those same that same late substitution. That's why it was so funny how I said I was going to do this quote in this podcast, and then he goes and makes earlier subs. Just goes to show you what happens when you plan for things, you know? But so he made earlier subs this game, but he normally makes these late subs, and it's because, like that guy, the BB, what's his name again? One more time. BVB Buzz, at BVB Buzz. And, you know, he said that he makes late substitutions because he trusts his side. And that's what I keep talking about. His main midfield seems to, against the toughest sides, seems to be Henderson, Wijnaldum, Fabinho. And that's because that's all part of Klopp's system. Again, we all want to see Ox on the field. We want to see Keita on the field because, yes, they are better with the ball. I mean, Wijnaldum's amazing with the ball. But I'm just saying Keita and Ox are, they're more forward-pressing players. And obviously everyone wants to see forward-pressing players. They don't necessarily see the stuff that Henderson is doing, that Wijnaldum's doing, all that hard work on the field that often goes unseen, sadly. But, yeah, so he made early subs this game. And I don't know. I watched Klopp's post-match interviews. And I normally, I mean, I'm very pro-Klopp, mind you. And I normally always agree with what he says. But this time I was a little, I don't know, I was a little taken back by what he said. You know, he was a little bit down on the team on their first half performance. Excuse me. Well, I puffed my Cortez. He was a little down on their first half performance. And I get what he's saying. But man, did we have our chances in the first half. We had our chances. We didn't put them away. We still pressed. Yes, we made some mistakes on defense. I believe Trent's mistake where he kind of committed to defending a ball and he just completely lost his footing, and there was a break on goal, and Alisson made a great positional play, which forced the pass from the Aston Villa player, and, you know, ultimately it didn't end up in a goal. But besides that, I was feeling pretty good that game. I don't know, I was watching that, I watched the first half, the second half, I kind of felt like, man, we were relentless again. We were relentless, like against Tottenham. But our finishing, we didn't finish things. We had a lot of chances. Salah was so close to scoring. Mane hit a ball right at the goalie. I mean, so many times we hit the ball right at the goalie. So did we create chances? And that's what it's all about. It's all about creating those chances and then ultimately putting the chances away, which we didn't do. But I don't necessarily blame our forwards for that. Obviously, it's their job to put those balls in the net, obviously. But there's also an amount of luck that comes into play, like the ball that Salah got, and he had to one-time it. It was a long ball. I mean, that's a hard thing to just to get on target. And Salah did his job. He got it on target. Sadly, it was right at the goalkeeper. Not every time do you have the time to aim one of those shots. You know what I'm saying? But so I don't know. Obviously, Klopp was happy with the second half. But he was mentioning how there's a lot to improve on. And I'm sure there was. I'm sure we had things to improve on. But I don't know. Like I said, I was pretty happy with the performance overall. I think we got a little bit unlucky. We got lucky in the sense that we scored those late goals. But man, that was a long time coming. We were pressing. The amount of crosses Trent got in that game, oh my goodness. It was crazy. And I saw someone on Twitter gave Trent, a guy on Twitter who does ratings for the players, he gave Trent a 7 versus other players getting an 8. I'm like, dude, did we watch the same game? I thought Trent was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about this this first goal that Liverpool conceded. It was a shame we conceded that goal, but I tell you what, completely our fault. It was a complete lack of focus. And, you know, it's hard to defend a set piece like that, especially when you're going to keep a high line that Liverpool have been doing. Liverpool have been trying this high line, and it's been scary as anything. High lines freak me out, man. Get back, Salah. I'm sorry. You know, Liverpool have been doing this high line, and last season it scared the heck out of me. But it worked. It worked. And it got me more confident in the high line. So once again, here's a set piece. Aston Villa is taking the free kick. We work on this high line, and we just shut off. We either shut off or, you know, we just didn't start that line up high enough. And if you're going to play a high line, what are you going to do as the offender playing against a high line? You're going to do what the Aston Villa player, number 17, didn't write his name down because I never am prepared. Number 17, you're going to do what he did. You're going to start a little farther back from the line, and you're going to start your run before the ball's kicked. And you're going to try to time your run to where when that ball's kicked, you're obviously onside. And he did that. And when you're playing a high line, you got to keep an eye on that. But the problem was, we had Van Dijk and Henderson in the back of that line. And we had three Aston Villa offenders attacking that ball. So we were mismatched to begin with. And so we were mismatched in the back there. I don't know how that happened. How did that happen? Liverpool had plenty of time to set themselves up and make sure everyone is defended properly. And we just left. Van Dijk had someone in front of him to deal with, and he had someone behind him to deal with. Henderson had someone in front of him and someone behind him, and no one behind that guy. So it was a mismatch. And not only was it a mismatch, but we kind of shut off. Van Dijk, Henderson, there was too much going on. They were trying to keep that high line, and number 17 just timed his run to perfection and got away. And it was, you know, a lapse of concentration from us, and obviously a really good run from the Aston Villa player. But, yeah, if we're going to continue this high line stuff, which I love, they've been doing a great job. Van Dijk is a very good captain when it comes to the high lines. I know Hendo's the captain, but, you know, Van Dijk is very good at running those high lines. But, again, fell apart today, sadly. So, you know, they're going to work on that in Melwood, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Again, just a complete lapse of concentration. And it was a sad thing to see. And, you know, that, I mean, this would be a perfect time to transition right into Firmino's VAR call. But let's talk about that a little bit later. We're going to get into that because that came a little bit right after that goal. Could have changed the course of the game. But again, we'll get into that in a second. First, let's talk about these goals we scored. Then we'll talk about the performance of the team. I was very happy with the performance of the team. Again, it reminded me of... It reminded me of the Tottenham game where we just were relentless. Completely relentless. Yes, Klopp said he wasn't happy with the first half's performance. Klopp also mentioned that, you know, we can't keep winning games like this where it's the last minute. But hey, we had so many chances that we just didn't put in the net. You know, so I agree with Klopp. We can't keep winning games like this last minute. We can't. But we did. Number one, we did. We got the 3 points. We did what we had to do. But, you know, we had so many chances. I think Klopp was a little hard on everybody today. But, you know, we had our chances and we just didn't put them away. Sadly. But let's talk about these goals. Sorry, I'm all over the place, but that's all right. So this first goal here. The first goal, I mean, come on. What a wonderful goal. What a wonderful goal. And I'm so happy for Rabo. And just to show Rabo's commitment to this team, you know, he headed that ball in. He doesn't score a lot. He's a fullback. He's not going to score a lot. Him and Trent, you know, they're not going to score so many goals. So they don't get many chances to celebrate in a season. And Rabo heads this ball in. And he's just so... You could see his excitement. You could see it. But he just says, let's go! Let's run back! He just runs right back to the center circle. Right back to position. He wants to get this game going again to get the win. Which they ultimately do. But that goal, it was... Oh, what an unbelievable... cross from Mané, and what a well-timed run from our fullback, which is a defender, mind you. A defender making that run. Blows my mind how fit Robertson is. The fact that he can make that run confidently, knowing he has the energy to get back, or he knows his teammates are going to back him up, things like that. But man, Rabo made that run. Mané crossed that ball, and like I said in my intro, Rabo did his usual, which was head it right at the goalie. But I mean, it was more of a joke, because you can't really head it. You don't have much room to head it anywhere in the position Rabo was in. So he did everything right. He kept the ball down, and he timed his run to perfection. And what's funny about that is Mané crossed that ball to Rabo. And before that happened, Trent gave a very similar cross to Mané. I don't know if anyone noticed that. But Trent crossed the ball just outside the 18. He right foot cross to Mané, far post, header, and Tim Heaton from Aston Villa made an incredible save. It hit right off his shoulder. Again, another crazy chance we had that the Aston Villa keeper made a great save. He was in a great spot. He made himself big. And we got a little bit unlucky. We got a little bit unlucky with our striking today. You know, some of it obviously was our fault, but, you know, again, there was times we definitely could have or should have scored that game. That game could have very well easily been 5-0. Easily. So that was an awesome goal. So happy to see that. And then, just to top it all off, Arnold kicks that beautiful corner. Mané with that insane near post header to go, you know, near post header that which goes to the far post. Oh, for an incredibly exciting finish to the game. That's why I said in my intro, what an exciting time to be a Reds fan. I mean, these games have been so exciting to watch. Obviously, completely nerve-wracking, completely, but just so exciting. It's just too much fun. I don't know, it kind of makes me sad how exciting everything is, because I just fear, you know, obviously, when you're in form like this, it doesn't last forever, you know? So I just look to the future. I know that's a horrible thing to do. I should really enjoy the moment that we're in. I should really live in the moment. But sadly, I look to the future at a potential not being in form. But yeah, two great goals. Hit in by just two beautiful headers, and it's a very exciting thing to see. I want to get into Trent's performance in this game. Again, I saw on Twitter, not a critique of Trent, but just that rating, that player rating on Twitter of a 7. I don't know. For me, he could have been the man of the match. He could have been. You know, obviously, I think Mané got the official man of the match. He scored the goal. He had a great game. But Trent for me, of the last couple weeks, he's been especially impressive. Yes, he made that defensive error, but he was placed in a hard position, and he shouldn't have committed so hard to that ball. You know, if you're not gonna if you're not gonna get to that ball, you can't do what he did. And yes, over time, he's gonna learn to be a little more conservative with stuff like that. But man, his performance, he was all over the place. He was the amount of touches he had, the amount of, obviously he's going to cross the ball a lot, but man, his crosses were great today. Again, that was another critique I saw of Trent on Twitter. I saw a critique about his crosses weren't on target, and I don't know, tell me I'm wrong. I watched that whole game. I was very happy with his crosses. You're not going to get every single one of them right. You're not going to. That's the nature of crosses. But he got so many in dangerous positions. And he had a couple shots that were great. You know, he got a little bit unlucky on some. He had the presence of mind on one Liverpool counterattack where Trent stole the ball. He stole the ball. And he ran up, and he, instead of laying the ball off to Salah, he had the confidence to take the strike on. He took the strike, it was on target, and it was deflected by a good block from Aston Villa. And Aston Villa had quite a lot of blocks today. Quite a lot of blocks. But he had the presence of mind to take that shot. You know, he said, all right, Salah is maybe not in the greatest of positions. Let me take this shot. Got the deflection and ran right, right after he took that shot and got the deflection, Trent ran right towards the corner to take that corner. He's just all over the place. And he's just so exciting to watch. You know, I heard a couple, I think Ryan Giggs said that that's his, you know, he's the best fullback in the world, or he may be one of the best fullbacks in the world at such a young age. That is just crazy to me. Crazy. And he's just an exciting, very exciting player to watch. And I'm just over the moon. And he's a Scouser. It just makes it so much better, right? And I'm not a Scouser, and I still love that. You know what I mean? Oh, boy. But yeah. Oh. It was just an exciting performance. Obviously, the game was a nail-biter. Obviously. We didn't score till the 86th or 87th minute. We should have scored earlier, for sure. But it was exciting. I don't know. We were pressing like we were relentless again, like against Tottenham. I know I said it already, but that's the way it was. Oh my goodness. It was so much fun. So much fun to watch. All right, what's my next point here? I'm getting a little off topic here. So I know obviously the big talking point of this game, sadly again, VAR, another big talking point. You know what though, but before I get into VAR, let me just do a quick discussion on Leilani's performance. And obviously, I miss Fabinho. Obviously. Fabinho is just overall, you know, I don't want to say he's a better player, but he is. I don't want to say it, but Leilani obviously has tons of skill. Tons of skill. Really good. He's really good on the ball. But if you were to pick, if you had to pick someone to play midfield on your team, let's say it's your team, you're gonna play a five-a-side match, and you need someone in the midfield, you're gonna pick Leilani or you're gonna pick Fabinho. Obviously, you're gonna pick Fabinho, but we don't want to play him today or yesterday. We don't want to play him because we need him for the City game. We don't want him to get a yellow card and be banned for the City game. So we play Leilani, and I tell you what, I was very happy with his performance. I was very happy with it. He did a great job. Defensively, he was good. Offensively, he was good. You know, he drew a couple fouls. He was great. I think it was one of his better performances I've seen. He obviously had that missed shot, which he should have gotten on target. I believe it was a ball from Firmino right inside the box. Should have gotten that on target. And again, as we talked about before, our finishing, it just wasn't there. Salah had the same type of situation, a pass, you know, he got past the ball inside the box and he skied it over the net, you know, something you don't expect from your strikers. Leilani, all right, maybe he can get away with it. I mean, he should still get that on target, but, you know, but yeah, like I said, overall, I was very happy with his performance. I think he can go away from that game, you know, with his head held high. And, you know, I was happy with it. I was. I won't mind seeing him again. But let's talk about the big talking point, VAR. All right. So we're going to talk about the goal that was not given to Firmino. And it was a beautiful goal, mind you. Let's talk about that goal. I mean, geez, another beautiful cross from Mane. And, you know, Firmino made a great run, great finish. What are you going to do? It was a great goal. That was a Liverpool goal, and it was disallowed by VAR. It was disallowed by the ref on the sideline, and he called it offside. Okay, and that's a crucial point to this. The sideline ref he called it offside, which again, they make mistakes, those guys. It was a tight, very very tight decision. Forget about VAR. His flag went up. So he saw something. I think he was wrong. I think he was definitely wrong. But again, that was a quick goal, and he might have been out of position. So, you know, the ref might have been out of position. In any rate, he called it offside, even though when you're unsure, you're supposed to side with the offender. You're supposed to side with the goal-scoring player. But anyway, whatever he saw it offside. Okay. Then it goes to VAR. They review the play. And, oh my goodness, I mean, I've seen this video all over the place of the VAR ref. I'm not sure who it was. The VAR ref working his system. I mean, can we talk about is that accurate, that system? First of all, we're looking at it. I'm watching it on TV, okay? I'm an American. I'm not in Anfield. I'm not at Aston Villa Stadium. And I'm watching it on TV. I see the angle that the VAR ref is using to judge if this is offside. Number one, the angle is not what you want. You want, obviously, the angle that the sideline ref had at the time. But we could land a man on the moon, but we can't get the angle right. Anyway, so the angle is off in the computer, you know, on the screen. I assume that the technology is there where that's redundant. Who cares what angle we're seeing? Those lines that he's able to draw on the field, those straight lines, the yellow line, the red line, the black line, I assume they're accurate. I assume. But then he did, which I've seen all, again, I've seen it all over the place. His first line he drew showed Firmino off, I'm sorry, he showed Firmino onside. And then he redid his line, which ended up showing him, I guess, offside? I guess? But to me, it seemed like that showed some flaws in the VAR system when it comes to offside. It seems like it's not an exact science. I just assumed it was going to be an exact science. But obviously, there are too many factors that come into play. You know, you obviously have when the ball was kicked. And when do they judge that? You know, do they have a camera on that ball at all times, a close-up camera deciding when the ball actually left the player's foot and the compression of the ball leaving the player's foot? Obviously, I don't think they have that. So there is some leeway in this system. It's not going to be exact. It's not going to be as exact as I believe the goal line technology may be, okay? Goal line technology has obviously been a good thing for soccer or for football, as you call it. It's been a good thing. But this seems a little strange. If you're going to, it was so, so close. Almost to the point of there are some, whatchamacallit, there are, you know, you have to make a decision as the VAR ref had to make a decision. Like, this is not black and white. This is not exact. So, I tell you what, if it is that close, and we're going to call it a no goal. All right, so, that brings me to my point here. Hold on, I'm getting some ice. Got to get some ice. I'm pouring some more whiskey here. Hold on. See, this is when Andrew comes into play here. He can talk during all this. But alas, I miss that boy. I miss him. It's been too long, Andrew. Been too long. So this brings me to my point here. And again, I've said this before. Andrew and I have talked about this constantly, sadly. And it's the fact that the sideline ref made the call. Do they not want to overturn his decision? Is that the nonsense we're dealing with here? Who cares about hurting refs' feelings or holding the refs up on a pedestal? It's almost as if the VAR ref redid the... Forget about bias against Liverpool towards another team. I don't necessarily believe all that nonsense. I think... I don't know. I'm sure... I know that's happened in the past. You know, refs have been paid off, this, and that. But forget about all that stuff. I don't think that stuff goes on like people say it does, you know? The problem here is that the sideline ref made a call. And it seems as if they never or they want to avoid overturning a call as much as possible, but give me a friggin' break. He was onside! Come on! He was onside. If he was offside by millimeters, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. I don't care if the goal was scored. I don't care if Villa scored a goal and it was off by a millimeter. Do not disallow that goal. Come on. It's so hard to score a goal in the Premier League. And you're going to disallow it by millimeters? And again, I don't even think it was offside at all. I don't think it was offside at all. And it brings me to another point of, this is real. It's killing the game. It's killing the excitement of the game completely. When a goal scored, when a goal was scored, what do we got to do? We got to wait to celebrate? That is complete, utter nonsense. You should never have to wait. You know, again, a quick decision, fine. But this is just. It's fair. I can't even discuss it. It's so frustrating. So frustrating. Now, we came away with the win. So, in the end, it's fine. But I'm just so afraid of VAR just ruining the Premier League. I don't think it's going to get to that. I think things are going to be fixed. They're going to overhaul it. And, you know, it's just, I think we got to get through. I don't think they're going to make any changes this season. You know, I think they're going to keep playing this nonsense the rest of this season. But I assume they're going to make some changes, especially every single person's complaining right now. The fans, obviously the fans are complaining. The managers are complaining. The pundits are complaining. Everyone is not happy. Even though it may have worked out to our advantage in the past, or it will work, you know, the season's still young yet. It might work out in the future for us. Who cares? Things need to get overhauled. Things need to get changed. And, you know, it's sadly, again, it's going to be a topic of discussion a lot. Sadly. Very sadly. But hey, again, we won the game. We can't be upset. We won. The reason why we're upset is because, you know, we're playing City next weekend. Imagine that happened against City and we lose the game. It's going to be just totally disheartening. If something stupid like that happens, oh my goodness. Totally disheartening. And obviously, as of now, I think 98% of the people would agree with me. We would much rather no VAR. If it's going to be like this, we'd rather no VAR. Ultimately, I want VAR. I want it. Just like goal line technology has been a great thing. You know, if something's offside, I want it to be called offside, but they just need to, they need to hammer out what the rules are and how they're going to use this technology to the advantage of the Premier League. And I heard people saying how, you know, we're fans. This is just entertainment to us and it's exciting. Fine. But Klopp said it, that managers get fired or sacked over losing games. And if they're going to start losing games over stupid crap, stupid VAR like this, and they're going to get fired over losing games, you're talking money's involved, people's lives are involved. What if there's a relegation battle and a team gets relegated because of a VAR decision that was stupid? That's millions upon millions of dollars that a team is going to lose because they're not going to get the TV money for the next season. Oh, I mean, there's so much that goes into this. And they got it. They got to figure it out. I mean, it would be wonderful if they made some changes mid-season. You know, I highly doubt that's going to happen. I believe they're going to play this out for the rest of the season. But man, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some issues on the field. Players are going to start taking it out on each other. And there could be some ugly crap at the end of the season. Hopefully, we don't see anything bad. But yeah, things have to change. They have to change. And once again, I hope we don't have to continue talking about this. But you know what's going to happen. All right. So again, we came away with 3 points. We're still 6 points ahead. And man, is it our year? Is it? Does it feel like it? I think it does. You know what I mean? 87th minute. We're down 1-0. And what happens? We win the freaking game. It seems like the luck is on our side. God is on our side. Or whatever you believe in is on our side. Oh my goodness. All right, I'm not going to get into religion right now. Oh boy, let's go over here where we stand. Let's go over the Premier League standings here. All right, here we go. As I look on my phone once again, Brian not prepared. What else is new? What else is new? All right. Do we want to hear my song here? Let's play it here. Oh, see, I just got a new iPhone 11 Pro Max, and I'm still learning how to use it, and it's different. Listen to this. Beware of Sadio. He's a killer. And Virgil van Dijk is a big gorilla. Oh, Aston Villa. Just pull your pants down and take it, will you? I accidentally turned it off. The last part. Oh boy. All right, let's go into Premier League standings here if I could find them. Okay. Here we are. Okay. And I can't find them. Oh, what a train wreck, people. What a train wreck. Andrew, get back. Get back, Andrew. Oh, I was all ready for these and it didn't Oh, this new phone. I gotta get used to it, people. I can't find anything. I can't find it. I got no home button. Oh, my goodness. All right, forget it. We play Genk on Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we play Genk on Tuesday, and then we go to Manchester City on Saturday. Where am I here? All right, I'm pretty far in. 38, 39 minutes. Not bad. All right, so we play Genk on Tuesday. We play Manchester City on Saturday. Now, the game against City. Very important game. We play them at Anfield. And Andrew and I are going to Carragher's in New York City to watch that game. We might do some pre-match interviews on the street in New York City. So if you live in the area, come check us out. We're going to be around. And then we might do, I'm not sure if we're going to do the podcast in Carragher's or we might just do it the next day. I'm not really sure. But at any rate, if you want to come hang with us, we're going to be chanting our heads off at Carragher's in New York City. And let's go with our last segment, Poetry in Motion. Poetry in motion, tra-la-la-la-la, I'm alone in the garage, it's friggin' cold. Yes, it is! If anyone wants to know, I have a heater between my legs. Yes, near my balls. Oh, boy. All right, and I wrote a poem for today. I wrote two, but I'm not sure the other one is good enough to read. It's pretty crap. But let me go with the first one. And the first one is a limerick. And here we go. And this is about... This limerick is about the game against Aston Villa, so it's very current. Here it is. One Scotsman, one Senegalese, four legs, four arms, four testes, one white forehead, one black forehead, two goals which came off of these. The end. Am I the only one laughing? Oh my goodness. All right, I'm going to read you my other poem. It's terrible. But I'm going to do it anyway. Cuz we don't have Andrew here, so this is the second one. All right, here we go. Everton, Barca, Arsenal, Newcastle, Spurs. You might think they're a bunch of amateurs. But the big man came around, made all them ships run aground. Divock Origi, annoying as Lyme's disease. turns opposition into overcooked paninis. Most of this poem has been hyperbole. Sunday night, scored against the shite. Divock Origi. The end. Oh my goodness. Oh. If anyone's still listening at this point, please email us, theanfieldhumidor@gmail.com, and tell me which poem is the winner. Just tell me, if you tell me which one's the winner, I'll read it. I'll read your email on the podcast next week. All right, guys, that's all I got for you today. Again, we got Genk on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll get a podcast out after that. We got Manchester City on Saturday, I believe. Yeah, Saturday. And we look forward to those games. They're going to be a good time. And that's the end of the podcast. I don't want to end it. This is too much fun. I miss Andrew. We've conquered all of your rage.